The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to two portions of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11. And Genesis chapter number 27. We'll read Hebrews chapter 11 first. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to, please, if you could continue to remember to pray for my daughter Hannah. She and her co-worker Laura Lee are in India right now and doing well, working and serving the Lord in a Bible college there. She's been teaching and teaching young students. She asks especially, Hannah does, if you would pray for her. She's been asked to give her testimony at the Bible college. And so she's a little bit nervous about doing that. It's a little bit more than what she's used to doing. And she would ask and pray that you would pray for her and remember her in prayer. But she'll be there for another approximately 2 weeks, and then she'll be home and then back to Kentucky where she teaches in a Christian school. So appreciate your prayers for her. Well, we've been in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, as well as in the book of Genesis quite a bit. Because the theme this summer for our messages has been by faith, taken out of Hebrews chapter 11. And we've looked at a number of individuals in verse 4, by faith Abel, in verse 5, by faith Enoch, by verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham, and two messages on Abraham, and also with regards to Isaac. But I want to, this morning, have you, if you would, just read out loud with me one verse, verse 20, and then we're going to turn to the book of Genesis. So if you'd read out good and loud, chapter 11, verse number 20, let's begin together. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now you can go ahead and turn back to Genesis chapter 27. And I'm going to have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the message. Let's pray. Father, I ask and pray that you'd help me this morning as I preach, that you would truly guide and direct all that I have to say, that the words that come forth out of my mouth would be words that you would have me to speak, that, Lord, you would use this message to speak to our hearts, to draw all of us into a closer and more meaningful relationship with you. And truly, Lord, if there's one here today that is without Christ, I do again pray for the salvation of their soul, that through the preaching of the Word and the convicting of the Holy Spirit, they would realize that without Christ there's no hope, that today would be the day that they recognize they're a sinner. They're a sinner bound for an eternity in a place called hell, but that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die and pay for their sins. And that by faith, if they'll call upon Him, they can be gloriously saved. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the eternity that awaits us. We ask all these things now in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 27, if you'll follow along as I begin reading. It is like so many of the chapters in the book of Genesis, it is a chapter filled with and rich with scriptural meaning and scriptural teaching. There are many themes that could be preached out of this particular chapter. I'm going to, though, focus on this morning the blessing that Isaac passed upon to Jacob. But let's read this. Chapter 27, verse 1. The Bible says that it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, and that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I now do, or what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou not but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until my brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heath. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heath, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" Well, that was a lot. What really, when you think about it, is kind of a very sordid affair that we find here in the Bible. And just a lot going on in chapter number 27. And again, much could be said with regards to how the blessing comes upon Jacob and not upon Esau. Now, you remember the story. In fact, you're going to review a little bit. Just go back to chapter 25 and verse 24. Chapter 25 and verse 24. We're reminded here of some things. First, some ages here. These boys are not young boys. For instance, Isaac does not marry Rebekah until he's 40 years old. Then they do not have their child until he is 60 years old. And then we find out from the scriptures that by the time this account takes place, Isaac is now 100 years old. But the boys, the twins, are at a minimum 40 years old, and maybe older. Many of the Jewish teachers felt that they could have been close to 70 years old when all of this takes place. Now remember, in this time in the Bible, men lived much longer. In fact, Isaac thought he was going to die. At a minimum, he's 100 years old. He is actually going to live 80 more years after this event takes place. So he wasn't anywhere near dying. So get out of the picture in your mind that these are just young children and we're teenage boys. These are all adults, grown people that are taking part in what's happening here. But it says, look at verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the Bible goes on to say, and the first came out red. That's Esau. Like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. It must have been quite a sight when Esau came out. Wow, this guy is hairy. Look at how he looks. And after that came out his brother. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old. He was 60 years old when this took place. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob, a plain man, dwelling in tents. And this is verse 28, it's an important verse. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now in verses 29 down through verse 34, this is the account of Esau selling his birthright. So, by the way, in the scripture that I read earlier, when Esau said to his father Jacob, his father Isaac, that Jacob had stolen his birthright, that's just not true. He gave away his birthright. The Bible, look at it, it says, Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. No, he wasn't. He was just hungry. Much like his father Isaac, you notice how many times when I read through the scriptures, it spoke about how much Isaac loved venison. And he was motivated by much of what he did because he loved venison. It's really a picture, if you would, of people. And by the way, Isaac was a man of God. He believed in the one true living God. But you find in the life of Isaac, as sometimes you find in the life of you and I as believers, he was more motivated by the flesh than he was by the spirit. It was his desire to be fed and his love for what Esau did. And Esau comes, and much like his father, he's motivated by his belly. And in verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. It's not a light thing to sell your birthright. Esau knew better. But he didn't care about his birthright. He didn't really care about his heritage. And so he sells that. But now go back, if you would, to verse number 19 of chapter 25. And this is really the crux of the matter. Chapter 25 and verse 19. These now are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So in other words, these children that are not born yet, it's like a struggle going on in her womb. And she inquires of the Lord, what's going on? And verse 23, the Lord answers her. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. And here it is. Would you just read the last part of the verse 23 out loud for me? Let's begin. And the elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. So this is God's command. This is God's will. This is God's instruction that Jacob would receive the blessing and Esau would not receive the blessing. And the instruction is given before both of these boys leave the womb. So this is the will of God, the express will of God. And in the account, there are some things. Look now again back at at chapter 27. So we remember here that as we read this, that I've already said Isaac was old. Well, he was 100. That's not, you know, that was old for then, but not real old for then. And it says here in the account that his eyes were dim. And so, physically speaking, he had problems seeing. But Isaac, even though he's a man of God, he had some other problems. He not only had some problems seeing physically, but as we read through the account, we're going to see he had some problems seeing spiritually. He knew what the will of God was. He knew what the plan of God was. But he's so wrapped up in the venison, and he's so wrapped up in his love for Esau, he's so wrapped up in the temporal and not the eternal, that he violates, he tries to interfere with the very will of God by passing the blessing on to his son Esau when he knew the blessing was to be to his son Jacob. You follow what I'm saying? Amen? All right? So that's his condition. And then look at verse 33 of chapter 27. So we've read all of this, and now all of a sudden, Isaac realizes what has happened. What we've already read. How all of the manipulation and the lying that took place and the scheming that took place. And I'm not preaching on that this morning. That is a whole message for a whole nother time. I really want to get to the crux of the message, and that is the blessing that was passed upon Jacob. It is hard sometimes for me to understand why and how all of this fits into the plan of God. And you can read through this and you can think about it. But there were consequences, by the way. Rebecca, by the way, would never see her son ever again. She would send her son away. In fact, if you remember when I read through that, the Bible says that Jacob, he kind of said to his mother, wait a minute, I'm not really sure this is right. But because even as a grown man, he respected his mother's wishes, he went along with the scheme. Remember he said, well, if Dad finds this out, he's going to curse me. And Rebecca said, well, let the curse be upon me. Now, all of that's a message for another time. But what happens here, I think this is important. I want to point this out. Verse 32. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? Now meaning Esau. Esau's come into him. And he said, well, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Those words there, very exceedingly. He trembled. He shook. And I don't think it was because he realized that Rebecca and Jacob had pulled a fast one on him. I don't think it was because he was now disappointed that Jacob got the blessing and Esau did not get the blessing. I believe with all my heart that Isaac shook because Isaac knew what the will of God was. And now Isaac is being found out that he was trying to interfere with the will of God. God had caught up with him. He was trembling because God had exposed his wrongdoing. Now, whether or not, well, I'm going to move on from that. Just a thought. And by the way, whatever God's will is, you and I are not going to change or thwart the will of God. We can try to interfere all we want. We can try to manipulate all we want. But we are not going to thwart. If God's will, listen, God is sovereign. If God wants it done, God's going to get it done. And a lesson to be learned to you and I as parents with regards to our children. We better listen. What is God's will for our children? I'll say more about that a little bit later on. But he trembled. The Bible says a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. But now move down, and I'm going to leave all of that behind because it really shows the graciousness and the mercy of God. Despite all of this, and much more could have been said about it, The blessing is passed upon to Jacob, as God had said. It is really an extension of the Abrahamic covenant passed from Abraham to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob. And the verse we read out of Hebrews, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The blessing, a vision of faith that Isaac had for his son, a fulfilling of God's plan for the life of Jacob, and how you and I can relate to this and make application in our own lives. So a couple of things here. You know, there's a saying that sometimes we say, and it goes something like this. You can help me finish it. Seeing is what? Believing. Seeing is believing. But that phrase, seeing is believing, that is our fleshly nature. But faith says, believing is seeing. It's the opposite. The flesh says believing or seeing is believing. The Spirit says believing is seeing. Help me with this verse. Many of you know it. Hebrews 11:1. Say it out loud. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, that's what the Scriptures say. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. I think I have on your handout Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. Look what it says on your handout. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In other words, the expectation of future good. That's what the verse... We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, none of us, by the way, have seen Jesus Christ. None of us were there when he went to the cross. None of us were there when he died and he paid for our sin. But we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the hope that we have. One day our faith will be turned to sight, and then no longer will it be hope any longer. Our faith will have been brought to a complete fruition. In other words, the hope that is seen, the hope that is enjoyed, is no longer hope. You can't hope for something that you already possess. Jacob was going to bless or be blessed by Isaac, and that which Isaac and how Isaac blessed him, these were with future expectations that this would take place. So look at verse 28 again at the blessing. Or I was thinking, before we even look at that, Ethan preached last week out of Hebrews chapter 11, the hope that they had. The Bible says of Abraham, he looked for a city. He looked for a city which hath foundations, the Bible says. That was the hope. And I love the point that Pastor Ethan made last week. Abraham, they lived in tents. So they would move those tents around. They were looking for a city that had foundations. They were looking for a permanent place. That was the hope that they had. Or these all died in faith, the Bible says. Not having received the promise. Hope they had in the promises. But these promises had not yet come to fruition. But they saw them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. This is the hope that they have. I think if you're here this morning, all of us, we have a hope in heaven. Amen? But we haven't gotten there yet. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope we have in eternal life. That's the hope that we step from this life into the next life and we're there in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the hope that we have. But that hope, we don't need to wait until we get to heaven to see the fruition of God's plan for our lives. And I noticed some things, even in the blessing that God, that Jacob gave, or was given to Jacob by Isaac. So verse 28, therefore, here's the blessing. God, give thee of the dew of heaven. And there are really 4 points to this verse. I have them on your handout. He was promising in this blessing plenty to Jacob. When it speaks of the dew of heaven, it's talking about the plentiful harvest, the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. That there would be a plentifulness in his life. Well, listen, I want you to understand this morning. There is a great blessing that God bestows upon you and I when we know Christ as our Savior. It is the blessing of plentifulness. But it's far better than the plentifulness of material things. You know, one of my favorite verses is found in John chapter 10, where Jesus said that he came to give us life, and he came to give us life more abundantly. It is the abundance of life, the plentifulness of life. Look on your handout, 1 Timothy 1:14. The Bible says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith. That phrase there, exceeding abundant, it means to superabound, to overflow, like a river overflowing its banks. I remember studying the Nile River and the whole region of the Nile, and why the Nile River is such a fruitful place. Because every spring, the Nile River overflows its banks, and the acreage to the east and to the west of the Nile River is flooded, and it is, during the flooding season, all of the nutrients, all of the minerals, and the soil is so fertile that it overflows with food products in that area of the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I accept Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is exceedingly abundant. The grace of God is far more valuable than anything you could own, anything you could attain in life. It is the grace of God. When Paul wrote this, then the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The plentifulness of it, the fatness of it. The previous verse to that, he said he had been a blasphemer. The previous verse said that he had persecuted believers. The previous verse said that he had been injurious to other Christians. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Wow. Where Paul came from and where you and I came from before we knew Christ as our Savior, as sinners, really deserving of going to hell, and yet the grace of God was poured out in our lives, and God's mercy and God's grace, which is so plentiful. And we sang that song this morning. There was a debt that had to be paid, and only the blood of Jesus Christ could pay that debt. And now you and I are present. I love that little thing with the grace, G-R-A-C-E. G, God, R, God's righteousness, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. Because we've accepted Christ, the graciousness of God. And then also God, G, R, resources, A, at, C, Christ, expense. Not only has our position changed, we've gone from serving in the kingdom of darkness, but we've been translated into the kingdom of light. Listen, is there anything more plentiful than leaving the kingdom of darkness and being translated into the kingdom of light? No. And in addition to that, not only has our position changed, but now because of the grace of God, the resources of God are available to you and I. It doesn't get any fatter than that. It doesn't get any more plentiful than that. It doesn't get any better than that. Are you with me? Then say amen. That's what we have in our relationship with Christ. It is the blessings of God upon our lives. I think we forget that. But then notice what he said in the blessing, verse 29. He said, let the people serve thee. It's the power of God. That Jacob would be in a position where the people would serve him was a position really of power. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you understand this morning that the power of Christ rests upon you? That sin does not and should not have dominion over you because the power of Christ rests upon you? Do you understand this morning? And here's really the key. The weaker you realize you are, the stronger you become. The weaker you realize you are, the stronger you become. In fact, it's interesting, but in Jacob's life, he really wouldn't learn this lesson until God touched his thigh and wounded him. We have to recognize that. That's where the power of God rests upon us. That I may know him, Paul said in Philippians, and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. The more you know Jesus, the more you then learn about yourself. Because he is the opposite of who we are. The weaker you are, the more powerful you, the weaker you realize you are, the more powerful you become. The more dependent upon God you become, the more independent of the world you become. That's why I'm always encouraging you that I hope and pray that you have a daily walk with the Lord. A daily time that you spend with the Lord. Because to do that, to have a daily devotion, a private devotion, it is a recognition of how much you need the Lord each day. And that's where the power of God comes from. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, we're more like Esau. Esau, he didn't really care about the spiritual blessing. You read about Esau's life, he was really more interested in the material blessings. He was really more interested in the blessing for himself. And so the blessing is given, the fatness of the earth, the plenty of the corn. Let the people serve thee. Verse 29, and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over my brethren. He would be promoted to a particular position. And as I thought about that, that's the blessings you and I enjoy, our spiritual walk with the Lord. How do we get to enjoy the plenty of God's grace? If, by the way, we don't sell out our birthright. Not only do we get to enjoy the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, if, by the way, we don't sell out our birthright. But we're promoted. God has lifted us up out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. And he sets our feet upon a rock. And he establishes our going. It's a continual journey, a continuous journey through life. That's the promotion that God gives us. When my heart is overwhelmed, the psalmist said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He plants our feet on higher ground. That's what life in our Christian walk should be. For God to plant our feet continually on higher ground. To continue to promote us in a very spiritual and a very humble way. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm passing on. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground each and every day. That is the blessing that you and I should expect from God. that you and I should seek after from God, that you and I should allow into our lives unless we sell out our birthright. And then we see here the protection that God promised in the blessing to Jacob. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. It is the protection of God. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Is there any safer place to be than in the will of God? I mentioned my daughter in India. India is a dangerous place for Christians. It's a very dangerous place. So Laura Lee was telling me, well, every step of the way, when we get off the plane in Mumbai, there will be someone there to meet us. They'll put us on the next plane to the next city they flew to, which I can't even pronounce. There would be somebody there to meet them. They would pick them up. They would take them from there to the Bible college, where most of the time they'll spend on the campus. But when they leave the campus of the Bible college, there will be someone else that will escort them wherever else that they're going. Dangerous place to be. I remember when my daughter went to Papua New Guinea a couple of years ago. And there's some people that said, well, it's a dangerous place to let your daughter go to. But I raised my daughter to pray and to seek God's will for herself. And yeah, I expected her to speak with me about it. We prayed about it together. But I expected her, I didn't raise my children so that for the rest of my life, I would have to tell them what to do, where to go, when to do it. I raised my children so as they matured and they became into their adult lives, that they would be able to, on their own, make these choices. I appreciate when they come to me and they ask my advice and I pray with them and we're in harmony with one another. But that's how I raised them. So to let her go to a place like Papua New Guinea or to let her go to a place like India, in my mind, it is the safest place that she could be on the planet right now. Because I believe she's at the very center of where God wants her. I have to admit, when she went to Papua New Guinea, I said, Papua New Guinea? That's on the other side of the world. Not like India's down the block, amen. But you see, that's the blessings of God, the protection of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or sword? Paul went on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, I've come to understand this with regards to, let's just say, I'll keep the illustration with my children. As much as I love them and would do whatever they needed for their father to do, God loves them even more. And what a blessing that is to know. With all my abilities and all whatever I could muster up to help them, it's pitiful in comparison to God's. And so I rest in that blessing and that assurance. To not rest in that blessing would be to sell out my birthright. Because you see, that blessing, that those blessings, the plentifulness of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the fact that He lifted us up out of the miry clay, the fact that He'll protect me, that's all part of my birthright. That's all what God has promised me. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That is the blessings of faith. And Isaac passed the blessing on to Jacob. Because God had passed the blessing on to Abraham. Abraham passed the blessing on to Isaac. Isaac passed the blessing on to Jacob. Because it was the promise of God. It was the will of God. And so never forget that. That we have a birthright. And to enjoy that birthright. And to walk by faith in that birthright. And to teach our children and our grandchildren to walk by faith in the promises of God. Let them see that in and through you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. The birthright came with a price. Our birthright came with a price. Price that you and I could never pay. The price was Jesus on the cross. And Jesus dying for our sin and His blood being shed. Because the reality is none of us are worthy of the birthright. We all fall short of it. It's ours because of the finished work of Christ. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, understand this, that you're a sinner. But you're a sinner who God loves. You're a sinner who God sent His Son to be the Savior, to die and pay for your sin on the cross. Understand that Jesus was buried and rose again to save you from your sin. But understand that you must put your trust in Him. You must call upon Him to be your Savior, to be born again because of the finished work of Christ, to be born again to then receive the birthright, to be born again and have your sins forgiven, to be born again and have a home in heaven, an inheritance that waits for you. To be born again and be adopted into the family of God. That's the question this morning. First of all, if you're here, are you born again? Are you born again? Do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you say, I'm not sure, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm born again. For the Bible says, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. You say, I'm not sure that I'm born again, but I'd like to be sure. I'd like to know for sure. Would you just slip up your hand, anyone at all? I'm not sure that I'm born again. I'm not sure. Then for you that have accepted Christ already as your Savior, are you enjoying the blessings of your birthright? Are you enjoying the blessings that God has for you? Don't be like Esau. And even some extent like Isaac, who was so motivated by the venison and the feeding of his flesh that they robbed themselves of the blessings that God had for them. Father, bless now as we sing this hymn of invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at MountGreylockBaptist.com.